There's a theory that's been going around among sceptical New Testament scholars for quite some time to explain away the resurrection. Jesus didn't rise from the dead, instead he rose into the hearts and minds of the disciples. In other words, the resurrection appearances weren't an encounter with the risen spiritual body of Jesus. They were in fact an aha moment in which his close followers finally cottoned on to what he'd been on about and fully internalized his message. So the inspiring teacher they had known was indeed definitively dead, but his message and his quality of living had now been exported into the cadre who had followed him around. They were now so on fire with the message, and they were so finally on message, that they in turn exported the good news around the Mediterranean world. Personally, I find this point of view to be one that is very hard to take seriously. It's certainly true that the disciples hadn't fully grasped who they were dealing with in his earthly life, but why would they get it now in the depths of their depression and heartache over the brutal death of their beloved, and also, let's admit it, rather scary leader? Euphoria and exhilaration aren't the characteristic way human beings respond to tragedy and loss. What could seriously motivate them to behave like that if nothing had objectively changed in their or Jesus' situation? And even if a few of them had come to this extraordinary conclusion, how did they manage to persuade all the others to think and feel the same way? Or are we to believe that they all simultaneously had this cognitive breakthrough and change of heart? The other major problem with this reductionist view of the resurrection is that the content of Jesus' mission and ministry wasn't about a message, it was about a person. He is the kingdom. He is the Messiah who renews the covenant with God's people. He is the disclosure point, the window through which we peer into the inner life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was very much the case then that the medium was the message. And since the medium was the Son of God, it was this astounding reality that the banjaxed disciples were dealing with in the great 50 days from Easter to the Ascension. Furthermore, the death of Jesus had been neither an accidental tragedy nor a show-and-tell demonstration of God's unchanging benevolent intentions towards the human race. It had made something happen. It had brought something new into the world, which is why it had happened by the deliberate will and foreknowledge of God the Father. He had driven his Son to a disappointment with destiny on the hill of Golgotha, because through this event he would pour a powerful new reality into the human situation. The teaching and the miracle-working ministry of Jesus in Galilee had only limited results and had fallen far short of its original intentions. If all the disciples were doing in the post-Easter period was downloading the sum total of that, then it wouldn't be enough to build a major world religion on. More was required, and had been supplied, by the staggering events from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. This is how we can make sense of Paul and Barnabas being unfazed by being booted out of Antioch after being heckled and contradicted by a hostile mob. So, we only won over some Jews and devout converts. Fine, we'll lift our sights and raise the stakes by going after the outsiders and the pagan unbelievers. And it backgrounds the situation described in the book of Revelation, a generation or two on. The huge number impossible to count are the martyrs who had their eyes so fixed on the prize that they were prepared to let the imperial persecution machine do its worst. Something had motivated them that amounted to more than a good idea or the membership of a satisfying religious club. What had reframed the horizons of those who had come into contact with the aftermath of Golgotha was a new energy source that they had been connected up to as a result of what had happened there. When he spoke the words, "It is finished," in fact something then began. The heavens, as it were ripped open, and something of the power and the glory of God's future fulfilled world streamed into our drab little world. A first installment of end-time shimmering radiant being came looking for that small group of distressed and depressed disciples. And as they encountered him in a new way, in that brief season of startling appearances, it entered them and changed them. On the day of Pentecost, the wattage of this electrifying apostle-making energy was turned up even higher. So what we are talking about here is not just some kind of psychological illumination following on from a series of brief encounters with the risen Jesus. A remarkable new kind of divine grace began to create interior change so that they would become determined and dynamic people with very high energy levels and a remarkable resilience that could take setbacks in their stride. What happened to them can happen to us. For if we are open to the full significance of what is on offer in the Easter season, then the pattern of death and resurrection can be repeated in each one of us. There are times when a kind of psychic depletion can strike us, when we are drained of vitalistic energy because we are working hard in God-centered ways. At such times, we are often online with and congruent with the death of self, which is the pattern of his death on the cross. This is then followed by a surge of energy and hope and optimism as his resurrection life widens and deepens our capacity to get things done and the horizons along which we pursue our paths of endeavour. It was not just raw energy that the Easter season and the grace of Holy Week makes available to us. When misfortune and setbacks and disappointments come our way, they are reframed into the cross-shaped perspective that sees them as part of his redemptive suffering for the sake of the world. There is a wisdom and patience available here that sees what formerly disheartened us in a fresh new light. Yet also there are times of experienced inner dynamism when we are like the first apostles, raring to go and full of life. The dynamism of the early Christian community, which produced such outstanding results, didn't come about through motivational gymnastics and intuitive insight. A door opened up between the worlds, and divine oomph came looking for them on behalf of the author of life, the Son of Man. Meeting him again in a new modality, he infused them with something even more dynamic than the product of one of our hydroelectric dams. What he did for them, he can do for us also. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.